Trump's first tweet of 2018 has created waves. His criticism of Pakistan as a nation that harbors terrorists while receiving U.S. assistance to the tune of billions of dollars has angered Pakistan and delighted Afghanistan and India. With the U.S.'s moral credibility to point fingers in the war on terror in question, its dependence on Pakistan for air and ground supplies to its troops in Afghanistan complicates the situation going forward. To add to that, this fallout further pushes Pakistan into China's arms. Join me, Waqar Rizvi, as we discuss the fallout between the United States and Pakistan tonight. Let's first go to Pakistan's capital, Islamabad, where Kamran Yusuf, Press TV's correspondent, is joining us live from. Kamran, tell us about the continuing Pakistani reactions.
Well, as you pointed out, that this all began after U.S. President Donald Trump on the new year made a stinging tweet against Pakistan, in which he slammed Pakistan for deceits and lies. And he said that Pakistan had not done enough in the fight against terrorism. And that tweet follows certain other actions, as we have seen in the last 24 hours, when the United States has announced a series of measures, including suspending about $1 billion in security assistance until and unless U.S. says Pakistan acts against the Afghan Taliban and the Haqqani network. But Pakistan has rejected all those allegations and said that arbitrary deadlines and unilateral pronouncements cannot work. And it has also emphasized that Pakistan has done enough in the fight against terrorism and also has fought this war through its own resources. It has also pointed to the fact that it has suffered both in men and material in the fight against terrorism, yet it has been accused in the fight against terrorism. So at this point in time, the situation is really uncertain, and things are really affecting as the military and the army, which really have a major say on these foreign policy and the national security issue, also warn that U.S. decisions will significantly affect bilateral cooperation between Pakistan and the United States.
Okay, Kamran, as always, we appreciate your reporting for us. It's Kamran Yusuf speaking to us live from Islamabad. Our guests for tonight's discussion are former U.S. diplomat Mr. Michael Springman, who is joining us live from Washington, D.C., and we're also joined by the Secretary General of the Next Century Foundation, Mr. William Morris, who is joining us live from London. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us. Mr. Morris, I'll start with you. What do you make of Trump's criticism of Pakistan that it harbors terrorists? Does he have a point?
Well, he has a point, and actually, one thing to be clear about is that this is no real change in policy. Obama was pretty hard on Pakistan and went in to take out Osama bin Laden, did what he pleased, used drones. Obama was very, very skeptical about the way Pakistan was behaving. This is just an extension of the same policy, but Donald Trump, of course, does it through Twitter. He's suspending this aid. It doesn't mean it isn't going to go forward. But Pakistan is playing a lot of difficult games. It's running a proxy war against India in Afghanistan. It backs elements of the Taliban. It's the ISI has always been troublesome. It's always promoted terrorism. So we have a difficult situation. That's not to say that India is particularly good either. India is pretty much a rogue nation when it comes to this proxy war that goes on in Afghanistan, so the two of them are behaving badly. But this is and it's about time that America began to wise up and have a better expectation that Pakistan would start to behave itself, really.
Okay, so Mr. Springman, how do you feel about all this? Because, you know, many people would say and ask, who really is America to be pointing fingers at Pakistan when its own credibility is obviously is not much to talk about?
Well, exactly right. I mean, Mr. Morris was correct in talking about the Pakistan being too close to various sorts of terrorists. I read an article not long ago that made the point that Pakistan had a petting zoo of representatives from every terrorist organization in the world. And that's probably correct. And it's also correct that India has been encouraged by Donald Trump to act as a counterweight to Pakistan. But somehow everybody seems to be forgetting that, one, Donald Trump is making foreign policy by tweet, And two, the United States worked very closely with Pakistan and its inter-services intelligence organization and Saudi Arabia to recruit, train, and support terrorists for the war against the Soviet Union in Afghanistan. And now the United States is suddenly changing its mind and switching sides and becoming far more critical of Pakistan than it has been in the past. They've had good relations, beginning with the September 11, 2001 attacks. And then they've, as was noted, Obama, bin Laden, Osama bin Laden had been held and allowed to operate in Pakistan, and Barry Obama was opposed to this, and he did fire a number of drone strikes at, and kill a lot of Pakistani citizens. So it's a perfect mess, and guaranteed to get worse, because Pakistan sits astride the American supply routes to his 14,000 soldiers in Afghanistan. And granted, a lot of these trucks and these drivers are Pakistanis, so cutting the route might harm Pakistan, cutting its nose off to spite its face. However, in the same situation, Pakistan is well-armed, it has nuclear weapons, and they are being moved around the country in not necessarily secured containers or vehicles or convoys. So who's to say what will happen if some of these right-wing people who are annoyed at Trump decide to pick up an atomic bomb or two and use it somewhere else? So it's a perfect mess, and I think the United States ought to stay out of things it doesn't understand and permit the Afghanis and the Pakistanis to run their own countries.
Okay, so Mr. Morris, I wanted to ask, in fact, about the leverage that Pakistan has over the United States when it comes to Afghanistan, because air and ground supplies are go through Pakistan. Pakistan is the base where the United States provides its supplies to its troops in Afghanistan. Pakistani politicians, many of them across the spectrum, have already called for those routes to be blocked now in response to this. That would hurt the U.S., wouldn't it?
Well, quite probably, but we have a terrible situation in Afghanistan. The whole country is falling apart, as we know. I mean, the Taliban are resurgent in a big way. And yes, the U.S. policy has been muddled from the beginning, Western policy. I mean, you talk about groups like the Haqqani Network. They were funded at one stage by the CIA. And now they are obviously very much our enemies. So we have a muddled situation, and yes, of course, it would hurt the U.S. if aid routes were cut. But there's a whole need for a rethink of the whole approach to this situation. I mean, it disturbs me that so much of the big U.S. aid money going to countries like Egypt, Israel, Pakistan is military aid, and I would much rather see a wider spread of aid that was more humanitarian in focus and dealt with infrastructure needs and education. The way this the military aid is endlessly misspent by these nations. I don't see Pakistan getting its act together to fight terrorism. And in Afghanistan, Pakistan is so scared of India that it is actually sponsoring certain terrorist elements in Afghanistan. So where do we go? I mean, it's a nightmare situation, and there is no clear way forward. We need to actually reassess the whole U.S. policy with regard to Pakistan. Maybe this is what Trump is doing in suspending aid for a day or two and thinking about it. He is only suspending the aid. Doesn't mean it's cut. Maybe it's a good pause for thought.
Okay, so Mr. Springman, how do you feel about that? Because, you know, Afghanistan and India, in fact, and this is the news that we're getting, and I've read those reports today, they both lobbied and have been lobbying the U.S. government for a while now to, in fact, cut this aid to Pakistan, because they both blame Pakistan for harboring terrorists that have affected both of their respective countries. Do you think, though, it's that simple? They're celebrating this decision now, but how do you think this decision will affect them if this continues long term?
Well, I think it's going to affect everybody negatively in the long term. I mean, the United States has a historic pattern going back decades of tilting to one side or the other, towards Pakistan and then again towards India, and it moves back and forth. Apparently this is now indicative of the United States tilting again towards India and the Hindu nationalist Modi, the prime minister there. What the Americans have done apparently is pushed the Pakistanis closer to Russia and China. And once Trump's tweet was out, supposedly after deliberations and discussions, the Chinese said that we support the Pakistanis. And they are moving now with the Pakistanis to establish bilateral trade in the Chinese currency and bilateral investment in the Chinese currency. So it's not a good thing. And arming these people who already have atomic bombs is, as Mr. Morris said, not a good thing. It's astonishing how there is so little understanding of the rest of the world in Washington these days. It's never been good in the past, and it's certainly worse now than I've ever seen it.
Okay, so Mr. Morris, what Pakistan says is that, you know, it doesn't really, this is obviously official army officials that I've read statements from, that they don't really need this aid, in their words, but that this was a symbolic thing, that the removal of this aid was a symbolic slap in the face for the Pakistanis. And this then pushes them into the arms of China, does it not then, Mr. Morris? As Mr. Springman there correctly pointed out, China has is welcoming Pakistan with open arms. That wouldn't be a good thing for the United States, certainly.
Yeah, well, I don't see it's hundreds of millions of dollars. I don't know how that turns out to be symbolic. But nonetheless, that said, okay, let's call it symbolic aid. I'd love to have some of this symbolic aid myself. Gosh, right, you'd die now, couldn't you? Okay, these vast sums that have gone from America, and over the years it's been billions and billions of dollars, have supported Pakistan. And Pakistan needs to be a little bit careful, because it does actually depend very heavily on the United States. China is an economic exploiter of the region. Look at its attempts to mine in northern Afghanistan. China has never been significant politically. It hasn't pulled its weight. It continues to fail to pull its weight internationally. It's a puppy dog internationally, and I don't think anybody is really majorly threatened by China. What we are threatened by is seeing Afghanistan fall into bits. And if that happens, then China and everybody else will pay an economic price. And it's not very healthy. I mean, not healthy at all. So I really think that we need to think again about strategies for stability. That requires some real thought about how we deal with the Afghan government, which is not fit for purpose, with the Indian government, which is messing around in the region, and with the Pakistan government, which is also certainly not fit for purpose. We have a major difficulty in the way things are going in Afghanistan, and Pakistan has its responsibility there, and it's a very grave responsibility indeed.
Okay, so Mr. Springman, are we then overplaying the fact that China may be more welcoming to Pakistan, and that will be something that will not be good for the United States? Because, you know, in a sense, China represents the axis, which we can then, you know, speak about, which includes Russia and possibly even Iran. And that's certainly a different axis from the one that the U.S. sphere of influence represents. That the U.S. doesn't want to lose another ally in that sphere of influence, I imagine.
Well, I don't think we're overplaying Chinese influence. I mean, 80% of the Pakistani people, as I understand it, have an unfavorable view of the United States. And Trump's actions, even if he does restore the temporary suspension of security assistance to Pakistan, will obviously push it up to maybe 100%. I don't know. But China will have much more leverage over Pakistan than it had before. Because in the past, the Pakistanis have opposed the costs of a mega dam project that the Chinese and the Pakistanis were planning. And now that they're being cut off from American funds, they may be more amenable to dealing with the Chinese and with the Chinese view on how things should be done. So I think that the Americans need to step back and start talking to people who really know what's going on over there, such as Lucy Edwards and other people who have been on the ground, who understand the cultures, who understand the politics. And instead of making these wild statements in Washington far removed from reality, they need to sit back and, as Mr. Morris said, make a deep reassessment of the situation.
Okay, so Mr. Morris, let's talk about reassessing the situation if we can then. One major hurdle and one major issue which really angers Pakistanis is the drone strikes in Pakistan, which have killed countless innocents, obviously. And that obviously provides fodder, according to officials, for further radicalization of Pakistanis who are ignorant of the world issues, the geopolitics, maybe because they are poor, etc. Doesn't that need to be revisited as well as a policy by the United States?
Very much so. Yes, you really. If people resent America in Pakistan, it's because of those drone strikes. It's not to do with the aid issue. I mean, those drone strikes are so morally, ethically wrong, in my view. Wherever they take place, they've been counterproductive. They keep heading civilians in Yemen or in Pakistan. The fallout in collateral damage as they fail and fail to take out the targets they're supposed to take out. And anyway, there should be some process of trial. You're going to execute people. It's like assassination by drone. There should be a trial in absentia or something to govern your behavior if you're going to start using these assassins in the sky. And they are so counterproductive everywhere. They increase terrorism, they increase hatred. They are, you can imagine it yourself. If there's some remote camera in the sky and you were threatened by some rocket, most terrifying even to think that these things would be flying above your nation. So they create resentment, they create considerable resentment in Pakistan. They create resentment everywhere. The U.S. should reconsider its use of drones, which was stepped up by Obama, one of Obama's major failings, actually, in my view. And it is grossly counterproductive. We need to think about that.
And Mr. Springman, what do you make of the drones as well? Because, this is an issue which isn't really spoken about much from what I can tell in mainstream media. It's sort of, the back of people's minds, but no one really talks about it as headlines. This is a major issue. This adds fodder to extremism, does it not?
Certainly it does. I mean, Mr. Morris was entirely correct. The United States is operating without any kind of control, without any kind of assessment, without any kind of judicial process, to essentially murder people that it doesn't like or suspects that they might be terrorists or people that the United States shouldn't like. The drone strikes are run out of Ramstein Air Force Base in Germany, and they're used in Africa, they're used in South Asia, they're used in Southwest Asia, and there is very little attention paid in the American media, at least, to this. There's organizations that I understand that follow the drone strikes and the body counts, but there is very little questioning of this. They've even mentioned in articles I've read that people using these drones are civilians for the most part, and it's an act of war for a civilian to engage in combat. It's a war crime. So I think that this can of worms needs to be taken apart and needs to be stomped on and needs to be buried. And the people involved in it should be appropriately punished.
Okay, so Mr. Morris, we're quickly running out of time, so I wanted to get your thoughts about one other criticism of the United States, which has been leveled in the fact that it's pointed the finger now at Pakistan as harboring terrorists, saying that, it was the U.S. interventions in the region, really, and at the U.S. entrance in the region, its wars in the region, which have really given rise to terrorism to begin with. So shouldn't the U.S. be revisiting that macro policy, the fact that it is warmongering throughout the world, and especially in the Middle East?
Yes. Intervention has not played well, has it, over recent years by the major powers. And you look at so many failed interventions, and yes, the West intervening in Afghanistan has failed. You could say up to a point the West intervening in Iraq has failed. You could say up to a point the West intervening pretty much everywhere that's intervened has failed. We need to think about policies of this kind. The problem, in my view, is that if you're going to start intervening and you are not going to be an imperial power and take your responsibility for your intervention, then you are actually a destructive force. And the world doesn't need imperial powers anymore. We need less interventionism worldwide. I mean, every nation is playing this game, mind you. Iran itself, Saudi Arabia, many of the regional powers, and Pakistan, of course, India. But it would be better, it would be a better, safer world if there was less interventionism, in my view.
Okay, so Mr. Springman, I'll give you the final word. Donald Trump came into office, Mr. Springman, promising less intervention, less military intervention. Pakistan points the finger at those interventions as giving rise to terrorism. Will Trump stick by his promises as candidate?
Unfortunately, I don't think will. I mean, he's done everything to counteract or act in opposition to what he promised during the campaign. He's fired 59 Tomahawk missiles at Syria. He's helped the Saudis with military intelligence and weapons to destroy Yemen and make the people there starve. And he has now added soldiers on the ground in Yemen to engage in attacks on the people who want to establish their own country free of Saudi influence. So now he's into Pakistan, and who knows where else he will go. He's already making threats in the Far East. He's threatened to blow up Korea. The man has done everything the opposite of what he said he would do during the campaign. And granted, politicians promised the sun, moon, and stars, but they should at least follow through on some of their actions and words. But with Trump, it's exactly 100% the opposite. And the man is proving day by day that he cannot be trusted in anything, however great
right.
or however small.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it there at that, gentlemen. But of course, we do appreciate both of your contributions to tonight's discussion. That was former U.S. diplomat Mr. Michael Springman, who was speaking to us live from Washington, D.C. And we were also joined by the Secretary General of the Next Century Foundation, Mr. William Morris, who had been speaking to us live from London. And of course, viewers, we appreciate you joining us as well. Until next time, good night.